I'm Kim Singletary.
And I'm Rich Collins.
And you're listening to Biz Talks,
a weekly conversation with local business leaders about topics affecting New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana.
Welcome to this week's episode of Biz Talks. I'm Kim Singletary, the managing editor of Biz New Orleans magazine. And this week we are coming still off of Mardi Gras. I think we're still recovering. So I'm excited to have our guest this week is Walt Leger. He is the president and CEO of New Orleans & Company, which if you didn't know is in charge of all of our tourism here. So welcome, Walt.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's start with Mardi Gras. So how was this year?
I think it was great, as usual. Mardi Gras is always great, but I think particularly well received this year. Sadly, I missed some of it. I was out at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas for most of the second weekend, but I got back in time for Mardi Gras Day.
So were you going for Taylor's boyfriend?
Well, I mean, I have a 7 and 5 year old. I have daughters. And
okay.
Yeah, the only question they asked me when I got back was, Daddy, did you meet Taylor Swift? And sadly, I did not.
Oh.
So, you know, we'll have to wait till October maybe. but yeah, Mardi Gras was great. By all reports from many of the restaurants across town, we heard great things. Obviously, the hotels were very busy. On the parade route, people reported, you know, just a fabulous time. It was really a great couple of weeks for the city.
The weather.
Much needed. The weather was mostly very, very good.
Yeah.
We had so many guests. We hosted a lot of people at our building this year. For the second year, we just started doing this, but we had a bunch of media in town, journalists from all over the country, some international as well. We had partners in from Disney. We had other stakeholders, customers, and clients that we brought in and hosted, and they had a spectacular time. We even hosted a couple of legislators who had said they had never been to a parade in New Orleans before.
What?
And so having that, to me, having that happen was just a big positive, right? They had a great time. They saw what it was. You know, sometimes if you haven't done it, you have a idea of what it is, but you don't know what it is because you haven't experienced it. And I think they walked away with a really good feeling about it. And overall, it was just really fascinating to get to see Mardi Gras through the eyes of people who were experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah, and I know as a parent and as from someone who's not from here, trying to get people down with their kids, it's hard because you have that still
stigma.
The stigma of like, oh, I'm gonna take my kids, and I'm like, oh no, this is where you take your kids. This is awesome. So on that note, like for Disney, what was?
Yeah, Disney said some fabulous things. We've been working with Disney a lot over the last couple of years. You know, they've got a cruise that's operating out of our port here. But also with Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the ride that they're redoing, and the Princess and the Frog and that connection, they've been really working here. Also, we worked with them last year on Haunted Mansion, which was filmed here, and really New Orleans was kind of a central character in that film. But we had 6 or 7 in town for Mardi Gras this year. Really kind of, they keep sending people to get them to kind of experience it. And the comments were just phenomenal. I mean, I loved hearing from them at the end, how moved they were by the crowd. You know, they were like, this is unbelievable. I mean, when you look out and you see babies to grandparents and, you know, white and black and diverse crowds of people all together on the street experiencing this whole community-driven event. We wish we could replicate this at Disney. And I was kind of like, well, maybe if your prices were rational, then you could.
But, we're free event.
But we are the world's, you know, greatest free event,
yeah.
Right? So anyway, no disrespect to our friends with Disney. They had a great time. And obviously, we're excited to host them and love partnering with them.
So we had talked a little bit about, because we chatted a little before the podcast, we talked about the throws and how, like, for me, when I went to Disney, I had to explain to my child that they are not going to give you throws on the parade. But part of that is the sustainability aspect of Mardi Gras. And so I know when people come here more and more every year, that it's a little more on everybody's mind. And just looking down and seeing the streets afterwards is a lot to take in. So, but you guys have a new, relatively new initiative. So tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, we often celebrate the first responders, and we all talk about how important and critical they are to making the event go. And they are, and we certainly want to continue to celebrate them. But the sanitation workers,
yeah,
we really need to take our hats off to them as well. Recycle Dat is a program we created in partnership with the city last year, and it's designed around the concept that we've got to do better,
yeah,
right? I mean, certainly we've got to clean up the mess, but also we've got to be more sustainable. We've got to, you know, continue to encourage the great work of organizations that are pushing towards more sustainable throws, but also recycling the things that are being thrown. And so focusing on aluminum on the parade route, glass on the parade route, mm-hmm, beads on the parade route, and other recyclables that we can. We did a phenomenal job last year kicking this off. Thousands and thousands of pounds of goods recycled. This year, to a whole nother level, though. You know, I mean, the data on this is really remarkable. In 2024, over 4,000 pounds of glass, over 4,000 pounds of aluminum cans, 12,697 pounds of beads and throws, and 6,139 plastic bottles on the parade route, and several tons more of these same things at the convention center, where they had, you know, a number of different events like Endymion, Zulu, Orpheus, and others that were all over there. So, I mean, literally tons of recyclable materials recovered along the parade route. And, you know, again, work in progress, like more work to be done. We're going to be encouraging the city to put some more efforts towards this as we go forward. We'll continue to partner with them, but we're hopeful that with additional focus from city leadership that we can do even greater things as we continue to go forward. And these things really matter, especially to visitors. You know, I mean, we kind of get used to it. We, you know, yeah, it's part of it. But I think when I was particularly moved by some comments shared with me by a bunch of tour operators who bring about 250 people from the United Kingdom every year. They were really struck by it. They talked about how often the people that they're bringing here talk about it over the years. And they were really pleased to see us taking this initiative last year. So pleased that the two of the tour operators volunteered to work in the recycling program last year as guests. So they volunteered to do a shift and actually put on the vests and like did the recycling work. And that was really incredible to me. You know, they were so moved by it that they volunteered to do the work while they were visiting. And they were with us again this year and we're really complimentary about the effort. So we know that it's something we need to continue to focus on and improve, but we do feel really good about what's been done thus far.
So what happens to that stuff that you throw in the bins? Is that something that we can take care of locally? Because that's a lot. It's a lot of volume.
So we work with partners that are doing this. Glass Half Full is one of them, okay, a local company that's been established. Real Cycle is another one that we worked with this year. And then, of course, there are other partners. So
right.
I think the truth is that we can handle some of it locally. The rest of it is going in to other places. Grounds Crew is one of our big,
okay,
supporters and sponsors. They're a company totally focused on sustainability and sustainable throws. You see them, you know, pushing out things that people can use and keep and put to use. So looking for more partners. Anybody else that's interested in coming aboard, I think, are more the merrier, and the more people that we get involved, the better. I think in a community like ours that's impacted by climate change, that, you know, is leading on things like the Coastal Master Plan and, you know, trying to be a more sustainable community, I think it's even more important that you put your money where your mouth is and you focus on these efforts, because otherwise it just doesn't quite resonate as authentically as I think, you know, it should.
Yeah, no, and that completely makes sense. So let's, I mean, I'm gonna end up talking about the Super Bowl because that's what everybody's thinking of next, but let's talk about how this past year went. How did 2023 go? We're obviously coming off this big pandemic. We're, you know, trying to get back up to where we were. So how did 2023 go?
2023 was difficult. You know, 2022, we came out of the gate really strong. 2023 was a year that we knew going in was a little challenging from the convention calendar standpoint, made even more challenging by the fact that in 2021 and 22, we didn't have the same ability to book into 2023 because of the pandemic. And so we made it through 2023. I think at the end of the day, we will see that when the data comes out that we had a lot of visitors here. We probably continued our climb to pre-COVID levels from a visitor standpoint. but the conference and meeting and convention calendar not being as strong really had an impact, and it hurt businesses throughout the community. And I think we also continue to struggle a little bit on the regional side, right, from our regional neighbors and surrounding parishes and others.
We had a really hot summer.
Public safety was a challenge, which is now vastly improved.
Yeah.
And so I think we're seeing, you know, I dropped someone off. We had a journalist in town that I was with last night, and that I dropped off at their hotel in the French Quarter, which was a Sunday night. And it was busy. There was a lot of activity. There was a lot going on. This is kind of the beginning of really peak time for us. And the rest of the spring will obviously be really very strong with a lot of different community events and French Quarter Fests and New Orleans Entrepreneur Week and Jazz Fest and Book Fest at Tulane, which is becoming a real attraction,
right,
and so many other things. So 23 was something that, you know, it was fine. It wasn't strong. And ultimately, we have a lot of work to do. There were a lot of businesses that struggled. And we know that 2024 is dramatically stronger. You know, I talked, I mentioned to you earlier when we were chatting about one measuring stick. You know, 2023, the third quarter, we had one event, 2,500 or more. We have 10 events of that size in the third quarter of 2024. So it's not just better, it's exponentially better. And that's really true for a lot of different periods, including Q4 of this year, which, again, every month is stronger than every month last year. As we get into 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30, things look even stronger, with booking pace really starting to really get well beyond what it was in 2017 to 19, which was a peak, three peak years for us in the industry. And we, our team is working really diligently to build those future years, and it's no exaggeration to say we're booking well into the mid-2030s at this point. You know, I mean, it's just how this business operates, and we're pushing to make sure that we don't ever have another 2023 year where we kind of make our way through it and struggle by building, you know, strong bases of business in those out years.
And we talked about, too, kind of the different types of visitors. So you have the leisure visitors. We have a lot of people that come from around the region. And then the convention visitors, but the convention visitors, kind of per person, are a lot better for us. Can you talk about those financially?
Yeah. So I mean, the convention meeting conference visitors, they may either be at a big citywide event that's housed at the convention center, or they may be at a smaller event that's, you know, in house at a hotel. But ultimately, those visitors are really critical to underpinnings of the whole hospitality and tourism industry. The events require so much more. You know, it's one thing when you're here for leisure, you come in, you have to either get here by plane or by car, you stay at a hotel, you go out to restaurants, you eat, you go out to the attractions, you visit. When a convention or meeting's happening, you've got meeting planners that are professionals that execute these events. They come in, they probably need a local meeting planner to help. They definitely need audiovisual help. They need transportation. They often book venues for big events, so they're buying out restaurants or they're buying out venues to be able to host parties at those events. So they need caterers. They need all sorts of services that your average visitor doesn't. And so as a result, though maybe only 25 to 30% of the visitors are here for those professional meetings, conferences, and events, the spending is probably 55 to 60% of the overall spend. And so you need the balance. You know, you need both, and we welcome both, and we work day in and day out to make sure that we have both. But at the end of the day, you can't ignore the importance of, like, the foundation of that. It also creates, it creates the opportunity for our businesses to stay busy, and it drives the economy of the city and keeps almost 100,000 people employed. And so you need those meetings to be stable and spread out throughout the year, and then you want the leisure visitors to also be stable as possible and spread out throughout the year. And I think that's what we strive for, is finding the right balance between those two things.
But those are a different animal, like you said. I mean, like in the magazine business, we work a couple months ahead. You know, convention business, you guys are working years ahead.
Right. Years and years, often a decade ahead of time, especially the bigger ones. The bigger the convention, the more planning and the bigger lead time. So, you know, they often have rotations, you know, and they are selecting three or four or five cities at a time to get five, six, 7 years ahead. And it's hyper competitive. It's always been competitive, but it's even more competitive now with new convention centers, new convention center hotels, other new properties coming online in cities throughout the United States. And so we're competing with cities that we previously weren't competing with because everybody's trying to get in on this game of conferences, meetings, and conventions because they understand how valuable they can be for a community.
Was there, too, a little bit of downtime? Like, I know our convention used some of the pandemic slowdown to really start ramping up and upgrade our convention facilities. And I did see that a lot of times over the past couple of years. A lot of restaurants, hotels were using that time to kind of spruce up. So you're seeing that around the country that now we're coming out and everybody's a little more spruced up.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think people were certainly identifying that that it was a good time to be able to make those investments. They weren't having the same level of visitorship. I think we had some things happening here that worked out fairly well. And we had a new airport opening up.
Yep.
That was opening up in 2019. Obviously, if we could have avoided the whole pandemic, I think everyone would say that would have been great. But at the end of the day, we're still welcoming people to our community who haven't been here with the new airport. You know, the journalist I was mentioning last night who has been writing about New Orleans for a long time, this was the first time that he had been to the city with the new airport, and he was just stunned by how welcoming and how beautiful it was compared to the old airport.
Does make a difference. That's our welcome mat. That's the first thing
difference. That
you see, first impressions. It really makes us feel like, okay, this is a real destination.
Yeah, it is a great achievement. It operates really well. It's received a lot of recognition and awards. Other facilities across the city, coming online. The Four Seasons was really coming online. Audubon Institute was redoing the aquarium. That's now back online and beautiful. And obviously very welcoming, and combining the insectarium into it has really made it special. But definitely, and the convention center absolutely took advantage of that. They redid about a quarter of their meeting rooms during that time. And by the end of the year, 2024, they should have most of the public space recarpeted, repainted, and sort of modernized, and in a way that hasn't been done in decades.
Right.
And so all of that really matters. We don't have the luxury like some of these other cities in knocking down our convention center and building a new one.
Right.
But you see that happening in places like Dallas, and certainly Nashville built a new one. I think Austin is knocking theirs down and building a new one. These are multi-billion-dollar commitments that these communities are making. And we have a facility that can continue to compete, but it needs some love and attention. I think they've done a great job of modernizing, investing in technology, upgrading restroom facilities and other things that just hadn't been touched in a very long time. And we're seeing great response from our customers. That's the expectation. Like, you just need to you need to deliver what is expected. And if they're seeing it in five other cities and we're competing with those cities for the event, well, then those things really matter, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the best in the nation, but it better be one of the top 5 or 10. We have it in size, and I think when we finish this, we'll have it in quality of finishes and other things as well.
All right. So on the subject of expectations and looking forward, of course, we've got the Super Bowl coming up. Putting our best foot forward, what's happening right now?
Well, I mean, you've seen the local coverage the last couple of weeks. I mean, everybody's obviously really excited, and sports has a way of bringing people together. And I think, one thing that we're really proud of as a community is that we believe that our city and our region and our state are really special, and we like welcoming people to our community. And the Super Bowl is a great chance to do that on a really big stage. And so I know you can feel the excitement. It definitely energizes people. And, having a deadline matters. And I think what we're seeing is the city, the state, and our regional partners as well, looking at things like lighting on the interstate, upgrading that, getting that addressed, looking at lighting throughout the community, looking at sidewalks and other public infrastructure spaces that really have been in need of some attention, getting that attention now. you see the city and the city council addressing other quality of life issues. We have been working diligently for a number, probably 18 months now, on addressing some of the growing challenges with homelessness and finding permanent housing for folks that are living on the street. And you're seeing success now come into play. Not that that's Super Bowl related, but I think it's another thing that creates a sense of urgency to take a look at these challenges and get them addressed. So I'm more than confident that it's going to be an incredible 2025 Super Bowl. But it's also great to feel the energy of people across the community. You have a singular task, a goal that we can all share together. And we've got some great things happening before that that'll be well worth celebrating as well. You know, we have an event in June here called Bocuse d'Or and the Pastry World Cup, which is a major kind of Super Bowl of culinary, you know, competition. First time it'll ever be housed in the United States. It'll be hosted in our city.
Well, because we're so French.
And I think, you know, we got the opportunity to compete for that because of our connection. You know, got a call from the U.S. Embassy in France that said, hey, this event might be coming to the United States. It's interested. It's looking around. New Orleans is a great place. You should go get it. We went and competed. There were other cities trying to get the business. We won it. And so recently, last week, they announced that the honorary chairman of the event will be Emeril Lagasse, which makes great sense.
Good.
And his commitment to making sure it's a special event has been really great to see. We really appreciate him and his leadership for stepping up. But there'll also be restaurants across the community that'll be hosting these teams from around North and South America who will be competing and trying to get to Lyon, France for the ultimate final. And that'll be really exciting because I think it creates an opportunity to tell the world how special our culinary scene is here. We're obviously very celebrated for our food here. People know we have great food. But I sometimes think that it gets relegated to Creole and Cajun cuisine.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, not as much our pastries. And, like, we're not,
and
know.
They don't. But we have all of that.
Yeah.
And so, and we have great international flavors that get sort of, you know, melded into the Creole and the Cajun traditions that create other special things. And so I think for us internationally, being able to highlight that in front of the world's greatest chefs that will be here for this competition is another great opportunity. Certainly we'll host media. And I think that coming out of it, there'll be a whole new level of appreciation for the great things happening in the restaurants across our community, and the chefs will be even more celebrated than they are now.
Okay, so say the name again, because I know that's a little hard. And then how big of a deal is this? Because if you're not kind of tuned into all the culinary and all that
it's
stuff.
A much bigger deal than I thought it was. I tell you that much. It's called Bocuse d'Or, which is the culinary competition, and then the Pastry World Cup, which is the pastry competition. Ah. And so more information on our website, neworleans.com. But it is a big deal. It's not a huge... it's not a Super Bowl in that people aren't necessarily coming to watch the competition, but the most serious culinary people on the planet are watching it intently.
Okay.
Many of them will be here. And of course, the media that covers it will be here as well. And so not as much of a huge draw from a visitor standpoint, but a massive PR opportunity to continue to tell the world about how special this is. And
so this is going to be, like, broadcast internationally?
It should be streamed internationally. Okay. And, of course, I think it's more like the people who will be here participating are those top culinary sort of decision makers and also influencers that will have a platform as they go forward to be able to communicate about the special things happening in our community. And it's just not possible to really put those people in one place at one time very often. And so, as I said, it's never been in the United States before. I was in awe of the response I got from international journalists when I talked about this last year at an international travel conference. The way that they talk about it and how important it is in Europe and elsewhere was exciting. And we were recently named one of the top 50 cities in the world by Time Out magazine. And one of the references was to how special it was that we were hosting this event in the United States for the first time, which tells you something.
Yeah.
And we knew that it was a great opportunity for us to highlight the things happening here. But I think it's going to be a really special event. And it's interesting timing that it's leading up to 2025 and we'll have the Super Bowl, because for many people, I think they equate this to that. It's that level of competition. And it's a good way for our people to understand it, because I think that for the most part, you know, people in the United States, if they're not really deeply in the culinary world, have only limited knowledge of it. But we're excited to have it, and we're excited to have the next year to be really focused and strategic about how we engage local businesses with the Super Bowl approaching, get sort of our ducks in a row from a infrastructure standpoint. But ultimately, I would say the best thing I took back from Las Vegas and when they hosted the Super Bowl recently was the excitement that sponsors, that the NFL and that others have about, and the media has about coming back to New Orleans. It'll be our 11th time, tying a record with Miami. But one thing that I was looking at while I was out there was that Florida's hosted the Super Bowl 14 times in various cities, Miami mostly, but other cities as well. California's hosted it 16 times. And Louisiana, this will be our 11th time for a state that has 4 million people, not 40 million people.
Right.
It's a really big achievement, and something that I think we shouldn't stop short of celebrating and recognizing that we're really good at putting on these types of special events. It's recognized by some of the most prominent brands in professional sports that come time and time and again to our city. And we should celebrate that, and we should recognize that part of it's because the professionals who work in this industry are really, really good at what they do, and they care greatly about how they make people feel when they come to our community. They often feel like they're a part of the family. And I think that's a source of pride for us, something that we should be proud of, and something we should stay focused on staying at the top of our game and being competitive, because there are other cities who want what we have, mm-hmm. that are willing to pay for it, and that have resources far beyond what we have. And if we don't stay at the top of our game, then we are going to lose out, or we're not going to have as many opportunities to do this as we currently do. And you can't ever not be at the top of your game when you're competing for this level of competition. I mean, we want future college football national championships. They're going to be even more costly to host, but the economic impact is significant. We want future Final Fours. The economic impact is huge. We want future Super Bowls. So does everybody else.
Right.
And they're building multi-billion-dollar stadiums to be able to compete for them. We have a stadium that we should be really proud of. It'll be celebrating its 50th anniversary serving our community next year, which, when you really think about it, is extraordinary, because you've got cities who have built and torn down multiple stadiums in that time.
Yeah.
So a real testament to the people of New Orleans and our preservation instincts that say, why tear it down if you can make it better and preserve it for posterity? And I really, when I look at the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl being in the Superdome, it's an iconic building. And I really appreciate the work that's been done there over the last couple of years to get it renovated and get it modernized and get it ready to host in 2025. I think people will be really pleased with it. And I think our community should be pleased with it, because as far as return on investment goes, it's been a really important part of our community for a long time in a lot of different ways. And it's going to be really special for it to be back hosting the Super Bowl in 2025.
Well, and so you kind of teed me up when you were talking about our hospitality and what that's something that sets us apart. So my last question on the workforce. So that's something that everybody's been struggling with, especially post-pandemic. You guys make some efforts there. You have some job fests. Like, so what are we looking at hospitality-wise? Because we need to have the people in place to make this happen, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the job fests are a great way of introducing people to a career opportunity. And what is so evident about this industry is that there are, in many ways, a low barrier of entry and a huge upside by being able to work with really world-class companies that are doing incredible work in this sector and provide an opportunity for advancement. But what's important is that you have the underlying, you know, educational attainment levels to be able to achieve that career growth. And so that's something that I think we're really focused on, working in high schools and also with our local universities and community technical colleges to ensure opportunity for that ongoing training that allows you to advance on the career track. Right now, the industry is in need of workers, and so compensation is at record levels. You know, I mean, if you're a server in restaurants right now, you're doing extraordinarily well, and there are great opportunities to get in to a position like that and then advance. There are new companies and new players in the community, like Four Seasons and others, that create incredible career paths if you will embrace it and engage in the training programs that they offer. We're continuing to look at ways that we can find and help people achieve the career that they want to have. It's not just a job in this industry. It really is a career track that you're able to follow. And we have great partners that are doing great work, but we're going to continue to look for new ways. You know, I talked to a company the other day that's working on a workforce application around sign creation and digital printing and other things. I mean, that touches every business sector out there, but certainly in the convention space, signage the printing and all of the other things associated with it. You think about the Super Bowl, there's going to be a ton of signage. There'll be buildings that get wrapped in really high quality printed materials. There'll be the Superdome and all of the venues that are hosting different events. So trying to get people trained into and feels like that and recognize that it may not be hospitality, but it certainly serves it. And that's something that I think we also talk about every day at New Orleans and Company. We have 1,100 members, a few hundred of which are hotels and restaurants that are maybe traditionally thought of as hospitality companies, but the others are all sorts of different companies that interact with the industry in one way or another. And small businesses throughout our community rely on this industry as well. You could be a plumber, and the hospitality industry is critical to you because of the work you do at restaurants and at hotels and at other venues across the city. I mean, there's literally nothing in our city that doesn't touch this industry and really rely on it to some extent for the financial success required to be a successful business. So we take our job really seriously. We know that the work that we do is about bringing people to our community to better our community. And we also know that the city and the state rely on the revenue that gets created to be able to provide the basic, you know, governmental services that happen each and every day. And it also reduces the tax burden on Louisiana families when you have these dollars coming from other places and them leaving them behind in our community. So it's the future looks bright for the industry right now. There are some things that need to keep happening. We need public safety to continue to improve, which it has. We need infrastructure to work for the people who live here, because if it works for the people who live here, then it will work for the people who visit. And that's kind of the mantra that we have. What do we need to do today to make the community a better place to live in and work in? The visitors will take care of themselves through the other efforts that we make. But it really is our community first. And if we do the right things for the people who live here, well, then we'll be able to achieve anything we want to as it relates to visitorship in the meeting side and in the leisure side.
Well, that's, as somebody who does work here or live here, this is good to hear.
Well, good. Yeah. Thank you. We're not going to slow down anytime soon, and we'll keep showing up every day wherever we can to make sure that people recognize how special the community is. And it's really a joy to be able to go out and tell that story every day.
Well, and it's always, for the most part, a really positive story. So that's always something that, you know, is good to hear.
I tell people that there are worse things than having a job that requires you to be optimistic.
Exactly.
And even on the days where it's tough, you know that the job is to put your best foot forward, be optimistic, and try to create a brighter future for the whole community. And it, you know, it's good that you're required to do that, because some days it can be tough. We all have tough days, but our team just works so hard, and I can tell you that they want to win for our city so badly that it's just awesome to work with people like that, because, you know, that's what it takes. These other cities are hungry too, but our team is really, really aggressive and really, really just wants to win for all of us, and they're incredibly dedicated, hardworking people, and I love working with them.
Awesome. Well, I could talk to you all day, but I know you guys have been here before we started recording, so I'm sure there are other things on your list of things to do today. So, but I do appreciate you stopping by.
We'll come back anytime and update you, but there's always something good to be sharing, so we welcome the opportunity to do it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Biz Talks is brought to you by Biz New Orleans Magazine. Follow us on social media @BizNewOrleans and visit bizneworleans.com for daily news and stories.